shearwaters glide with their wings held out stiffly just over the waves until they spot their shimmering targets. These top predators are all here thanks to tiny fish called sand lance. They bury themselves in the sand at night for protection, emerging during the day to feed in huge numbers. That's when shearwaters dive for them and humpback whales gulp them down. But sand lance are vulnerable to climate change. They have their offspring in the winter, so rising temperatures could make it harder for their young to develop successfully. That puts the rest of the ecosystem, including seabirds, at risk. Biologists are exploring the link between shearwaters and their tiny prey by tracking the birds' movements around Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary. Learn more on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Ariana Rimmel. This episode is dedicated to Bob Goodale, whose lifelong love for birds and nature continues to inspire.
All I can get is static or variations on the central musical rhythm.
I only wish there was some way we could tell it to shut up. It's driving me crazy. And it keeps getting louder.
We have no way of estimating the volume this creature can produce.
The only logical solution is to listen to CJS at 90.1 FM. They broadcast from Burnaby Mountain in British Columbia. Let's tune in now.
This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM at SFU Burnaby Campus in Burnaby, BC. And I'm here with Simon Order of Liminal Drifter, based out of Australia, guys. Can you believe it? And we're going to chat about his latest album, Cowboy Pilgrim, because I absolutely love it. So, Simon, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
Oh, good day, Nicole. It's a pleasure to be here, especially anything to do with Simon Fraser gets my vote. So, hey. Yeah, happy.
I love to hear that. And it's just for the listeners, we are recording virtually because we have to, because Simon is all the way in Western Australia. So good morning to you, I should actually say, is that so wild to me.
A little in Fremantle, which is near Perth in Western Australia.
Hey.
We're in the deep of winter, storms and rain and yeah, very stormy. Although the sun is coming out today, you can see a little bit through the window there. Not for radio, of course, but there you go.
I can. And it's so wild because over here in like British Columbia, in the lower mainland area here, it is a hot one today. It's not going to be hot all week, but today is really lovely. And you guys are not able to see what we're seeing, but honestly, the sunshine is almost matching, even though you're probably much colder than I am, but it's just as bright in both of our spaces, it looks like. So yay for sunshine, if nothing else.
Definitely. WA is a pretty sunny place, sunny and windy.
All right. I've never been out your way, but I'm putting it on my bucket list for sure. I definitely want to come and see your guys' parts for sure. So I listened to your album, Cowboy Pilgrim, and I absolutely love it. There are so many tracks on the album that I really enjoy. And so my first question to you is, can you... why don't you explain your vibe, if you don't mind, the sound? You know what I mean? If you could explain your sound for someone who is just going to be stumbling on you maybe for the first time.
Yeah, so I guess I draw a lot of inspiration from late 90s, early 2000s ambient electronica. Yeah. So it's been described as lush ambient chill beats, multi-layered, synth-driven, submerged vocal samples, highly produced, which, you know, it's a nice compliment to get, and generally very reflective and thoughtful music. I get a lot of fan mail from people that use it to work with, so academics, scientists, researchers, even doctors. They say, oh, I love writing or creating. Photographers have written to me and said, look, I just have your tunes pitter-pattering away in the background. It just gives me the right amount of motivation without distracting me. So definitely in the chill vibes. But it's a lot more than elevator music. I tried to give it a lot more longevity and character than that. And every album has a story.
And what's the story for this album, would you say?
Yeah, good segue. So because a lot of it's instrumental, I'm always trying to connect with my listeners to give them a narrative about, you know, what the album's about. There's a few vocal samples, but not like obvious lyrics.
Right.
So this one, and all the stuff is very autobiographical about parts of my life. It's only me in Liminal Drifter.
Mm-hmm.
So this one started about, when would it have been? Probably 2022, something like that.
Okay.
I remember sitting down in the studio with a pretty blank slate. And very soon I started to get this reoccurring daydream. And it was about this cowboy who was had been in a hermitage in sort of mystic meditation for 25 years. And he lived up in this mountain in a shack or a cave, I wasn't sure which. And I kept getting this daydream of this guy riding down this mountain on this kind of dappled white horse with a dusty poncho and a big, you know, Clint Eastwood hat,
right,
and the kind of dust caked on him and him sort of hat kind of down low. And it kept coming back. And slowly but surely, I started to kind of build this story. I'm permanently immersed in media, books, film, you name it. So I wrote this little story about this guy, the cowboy pilgrim, and he would have gone into hermitage about 25 years ago, and he completely shut himself off from the world.
Right.
And it's about his journey back into 2026, what it's like. The technology, the people, Trump and Putin, the whole world has changed, and it's this whole new uncertain place. And it's the tracks on the album are about those different moments, those experiences he has as he tries to re-enter the world. But of course, in the liminal sort of legacy, it's all about living between his hermitage kind of mindset and the world he's entering.
Right.
So each track has a story.
I love that. Okay, we're going to talk about some of my favorite tracks in just a minute. But I'm curious, okay, so the project kind of started in 2022. What has the journey been like to put it all together up until release?
Yeah, good question. So the albums all reflect what's going on in my life at any given point. You can't help but do that.
Right.
So I came out of a period of uncertain employment, uncertain health, uncertain family life, lots of change. And that seems to reflect what's been happening in the world as well. I think everyone's sort of been expressing that feeling of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. So the album was made in a very disconnected, discontinuous way, snatched moments of time when I was able to sit down for half an hour here, half an hour there, and maybe write. Very different to previous albums that have had a much more concise and almost structured workflow.
Okay.
So I've had some feedback from listeners that have said, I love the album, but it all seems quite different.
Yeah.
The tracks are very different. I said, well, that's the way it got made. It was all very uncertain and disconnected. So just go with it. You know, that's the way it happened. That was my journey.
Yeah.
From a very stable life, sort of about 2020, mm-hmm, through to about 2024, when those few kind of 4 years were completely all over the place for me. But I tried to keep writing.
Okay, so maybe that's why I feel a connection to the album, because in my world, 2020 was extremely stable for me. And then 2022 to, like, I don't know, like to 2025-ish was like pretty chaotic in terms of what I'm used to, right? I'm just used to really like stability and things kind of like going smoothly and my way and all of the things. And it wasn't quite like that during that time frame. So maybe that's why I connect to all the differences in each track, because the last few years has been so interesting. So I love that you've captured that. I definitely resonated for sure. So I want to talk about some of the tracks on the album that I really resonated with. And the first one is Roll the Dice. Can you talk a little bit about that one?
Yeah, for sure. There's quite a few angles on that one. When in 2020, when things started going a bit pear-shaped for me, one of the things I did was started becoming a day trader in crypto.
Okay.
I've quite experienced as a trader over the years. I've dabbled quite a lot. I wouldn't call myself a gambler, but I do like to have a punt, as we say here in Australia. And yeah, that set me up for the first few of those years. Although that's slightly autobiographical, the Cowboy Pilgrim also has this, one of the things he did before he went into hermitage was he had a bit of a gambling problem. And when he comes back into the world, he starts to get seduced again by that, you know, rolling the dice, that kind of, oh, it could be me, I could make the big win, the whole thing. And also Roll the Dice is about the uncertainty of our times, because you can plan as much as you like, but ultimately it's an illusion of control that you don't have. there's three angles on that one. And they all kind of, this is how I work. I exist in these liminal thought places where I try to bring these ideas together and make music about it. So that's the story of that one.
Love it. And speaking of liminal, my next favorite track is Liminal Disco.
It's funny that was nearly not put on the album because I nearly went, oh, it's too wacky for me. It's quite quirky, that one. So back in the late 90s, early noughties, I was a big clubber in London. Hands in the air, you know, I was there. But the place that I loved in London and English clubs was the Chill Out Room. So you'd go and, you know, party hard for a couple of hours and you'd be like, oh, it's hard work. I've done my dancing now. I've done my workout. Oh, I'm going to go in the Chill Out Room and listen to some really chilled vibes and have a glass of water. Yeah. So I guess it's a bit about what's happened to that. That whole scene where rave and the club scene has gone, and it's sort of entered a new phase. And I just made that tune and thought, what is this tune about? It's kind of a disco vibe from the 70s, but it's got this weird liminal drifter thing to it. So the guy at the label, my manager, he said, just keep it. It's weird. Let it stay on the album as part of the journey. And it's also about the Cowboy Pilgrim coming back from the mountain and going, oh, I'm going to go clubbing. Yeah, let's do it. Hands in the air. Because when he left, that was still a thing.
Right.
But he would have gone to clubs now and found very different music, very different vibe. So that's him. You know, he likes his gambling, but he also likes a bit of clubbing.
You know what? I'm not mad at it. I love that. and then, of course, the title, the song that is the title of the album, Cowboy Pilgrim, was also a fave of mine. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, there's not as much a story about that one. It's always been a, more of a production thing, that one. I've had since the 80s and 90s, probably more 90s, I'm not that old, but I've always had this fascination with dub reggae. And I've always wanted to be in a reggae band. I'm a bass player, have been since I was 13.
Okay.
I never got to play in a reggae band. So now, in later life, I've started trying to introduce all these dub vibes into my tunes because I love the space. Yeah. I'm into space, like gaps, where there isn't music. And I love all the artwork that came out of the 80s and 90s dub reggae scene in London, all the comic book artwork, the Space Invaders stuff. I don't know if you remember bands like Scientist, Gregory Isaacs, kind of Lovers Rock.
Yes, yes.
That wasn't dub, but it's kind of got that really nice.
It has the vibe. The yeah, it definitely does.
So I wanted to, I'm always aiming to put some dub elements in the tunes, and I'm always aiming to find some really clean production sort of sounds. One thing that inspired that track was a guy called Rodney Hunter.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of Rodney Hunter. He does this sort of electro dub vibe, and he uses the cleanest sort of hi-fi, and I was going for that.
Okay.
So that's less of a narrative about the Pilgrim, more of a narrative about what I was gunning for in the studio, production-wise, what I wanted to what it to sound like.
Yeah.
So that's another big driver for me. I come from a strong background of sound design and music technology.
Okay.
Thus, my happiness to talk to people from Simon Fraser because of Murray Schafer, the big. You've probably heard of Murray Schafer, the acoustic ecology guy.
Yes.
I remember my first lectures on acoustic ecology. I was like, wow, this is for me. Oh, I want to be part of this scene.
Yeah.
That was back in the late 90s when I think Murray Schafer was still alive.
Right. That's so awesome. I now am going to turn the question to you in terms of, like, do you have a favorite or favorites off of this album?
I think the one that's been sort of coming back to me is Aquatic Whisper.
Oh, yeah.
It's one that's been kind of getting a bit more airplay here in Australia. It kind of crosses the bridge between the very chilled vibes and my sort of liminal drifter persona. Mm. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say here. I live in Fremantle and it's a port city, so my whole view on the world is shaped by the ocean.
Right.
If you go back through all my albums, you'll see all these aquatic kind of titles, and there's lots of waves, and nearly every album has one. An album about the ocean. There was a track on a previous album about my learning to swim journey.
Oh.
And what it's like to learn to swim at a slightly older age. And so it's about the gentle lapping, the almost hypnotic meditative possibilities for an ocean. I can stare at the ocean for hours, just sit there on the beach. Cup of coffee, happy as Larry.
Same. We have the ocean. We have access to the ocean in this part of the country as well. And same, I could sit and watch the ocean all day and be absolutely content. I love that. You did touch a little bit on the persona of Liminal Drifter, and I would love for you to speak on that, if you don't mind.
The persona. Oh, wow. So it goes back to the early days when I first was signed to Hidden Shoal. Mm. So I was doing my PhD, I don't know if you know people that have done PhDs, but normally a few years in, you start to get that I can't do this anymore vibe.
Yeah, I know.
This is going to kill me. And I'd taken a sabbatical from writing music. I'd moved from London to Australia. Okay. I hadn't done any music for quite a few years. I was doing the PhD thing.
Mm.
Halfway through, I thought, oh, geez, I really need to do something creative. Trust me, PhDs are not necessarily creative.
Right.
And I started just banging out some tunes, playing my bass again. And then purely by chance, I met the manager of Hidden Shoal, the label. And I said, oh, I've been playing, you know, making a few tunes. And he said, oh, send them through. And it wasn't an intention to get signed or anything.
Yeah.
So I started sending him these sort of scratch tracks. And he said, oh, I quite like these. He said, keep going, keep sending me stuff. and then, I don't know, about a year or two later, he said, I think we should do something. I think we should sign you and we should start a project.
Wow.
And he's a very kind of collegial kind of guy. He's really interested in the process of artist development.
Mm.
And we chatted around, you know, didn't have a name at that point. It was just Simon. We listened to the tracks. We drank a lot of coffee. And eventually I came up with this Liminal Drifter character. Mm. And it's very autobiographical. I drift around a lot. I've got I don't plan very much. I kind of follow my nose, if you like.
Yep.
I go where my passion takes me. And I probably exist in a lot of liminal consciousness type spaces between places, in between things.
Yeah.
And the music seemed to say that as well.
It does.
It's kind of drifty. It exists in liminal places for liminal kind of reflection.
Right.
So we've just kind of built on that whole idea, and it fits the chill vibe, the ambient electronica vibe. It really tells the listener, before they've heard anything, what the music might be about.
Mm-hmm.
And in at my little niche genre, that's quite important.
Right.
You don't want a name like Metallica in my genre.
Exactly. Exactly. Now my next question is now, I think it would be, it's going to be helpful for somebody who might be listening who wants to get into the music scene. You know, maybe they're wanting to start their first creative project. What advice would you offer for somebody new, yeah, wanting to kind of like, you know, get into it?
Sure. I get quite a lot of mail from aspiring producers saying, can you tell me how you make your music?
Yeah.
And as part of my other role as a music professional, I do mentor people.
Okay.
I do it online. I've got quite a few clients all over the place. But one of the things I find when I talk to people who want to make music is it's normally their workflow.
Mm.
So when you first sit down in the studio, if you've got a studio, or some people, you know, they just got a laptop, or I mean, I've made music just on my phone before.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they'll do 3 days straight and they won't sleep. And then they'll listen to what they've got and they go, oh, when they wake up, you know.
Yeah.
I read a book called The Artist's Way a few years ago,
right.
20 years ago. And it's about a workflow. You do a little bit every day. And you do it religiously. It's like brushing your teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
So my advice to any aspiring musician is to try and carve out at least 30 minutes a day to do something. Mm-hmm. And it could be something as small as writing a hi-hat pattern, or, you know, doing some production on a synth part. But mm-hmm. just keep doing it every day.
Absolutely.
And stay in the flow of that tune. And don't have a day off. You know, unless you take Sundays off.
Yeah.
And you know, monitor your workflow. Workflow is the bugbear for all aspiring producers. They need that regularity,
right,
that persistence and that consistency. Because if you keep going, you do a bit every day, eventually you'll have an album and you won't even notice you got there.
Right.
That's the best piece of advice I can give.
Yeah.
Without getting too technical.
No, that's great. I think it's an incredible piece of advice, because it can be transferred in so many other different areas, even just in your life, right? So I think that that's a great way to flow for sure. What's next for you though? Like, you have the album out, you know, what does the rest of 2026 sort of look for you?
Yeah, so we're still writing the US release.
Yeah.
See how that goes. We might have another 4 to 8 weeks. I never know what's going to happen within the US, North America, Canada.
Right.
So we'll keep writing that. There's always things to do, posts to make, people to chat with, which is awesome. And I'll, you know, it always has a natural conclusion.
Right.
Where you go, okay, I think we're done. So the next thing is probably going to be to look at some video content for the album. It's nice to try and make some visuals, because I come from a photography background as well.
Okay.
Always we make lots of little shorts, yeah, for socials, but it's nice to do something longer form, something a bit more I don't know, structured with a narrative, and we can borrow from the Cowboy Pilgrim narrative.
Yes.
So that's probably going to happen. More YouTube. And also, I started on the next album, got one track nearly finished. I don't know what it's called yet. I'm going to upgrade the studio a bit with some new toys. I'm going to try and, because I have a history of being quite a competitive athlete.
Okay.
And that kind of has driven me over the years, but I've had quite a long period of uncertain health, and that's kind of moving now, turning a corner, and I'm hoping to get back into my athletic pursuits.
Okay.
And that will drive the music for the next album. Okay. Yeah.
How would we get connected with you online? Like, let's say we want to check out some of the visuals that you might launch, you know what I mean, in the coming months. How could we get connected? Especially how can we like listen to your album? I know how, but if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Well, for us artists, the best way for you to connect with us musically is to have a look at Bandcamp, the Liminal Drifter profile on Bandcamp. And if you're not up for that, then all the usual streaming subscription services, I won't name them, but everyone has a different way. Everyone has a different way of consuming music now, and you have to be everywhere. So generally you'll find me on all those platforms. Video will probably be on YouTube. And you can connect with me on the usual socials. I'm on the main three, and you can just write to me. There's also a Liminal Drifter Patreon page. So if you want to support my ongoing endeavors, because as you're probably aware, most musicians now need two or three jobs just to keep going.
Factual statements.
Yeah, right. any little contribution's always valuable. I know some people were happy to give me, you know, $1 a month. I'm happy with that, you know.
Absolutely. Because listen, it adds up. It really does, yeah. You know. It really, really does.
Yeah. So if you want to support the music, you want to hear more, there are lots of, this is album 6.
Yay.
So you can support by looking at the other albums, buying, streaming. So any support that you can give to the project will keep me moving, keep me motivated to produce more Liminal Drifter music.
Absolutely. And for listeners, as you know, I will be putting links to connect with Simon and Liminal Drifter, and as well as access to listen to the album. I'll like just include Bandcamp, and then folks can figure out the streaming services that they prefer. Before I let you go, is there anything that we may have missed in our conversation that you might want to share?
Oh, just a big shout out to the listeners at your radio station. I have a good fan base in North America and Canada. So I want to thank everyone for streaming, for listening, for showing their support. I have to be really honest, I've never been to North America.
Oh my gosh, you must come for a visit.
I know, exactly. And Canada especially, for obvious reasons.
Yes, and come to the West Coast. Absolutely. Yeah. We have the ocean on the West Coast as well. You should come through.
Yeah, my partner has some connections in Vancouver.
Yeah.
We've been thinking about that for a while. Okay. And the other thing that I've been toying with this for a while is how to do some gigs.
Okay.
I used to gig, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week when I was a gigging musician. But electronic music has its challenges. Finding some time and a way to do that and bring a show, ultimately that would be the best thing, for the future. I always say this, but it's finding the time.
To do it, I know.
Yeah.
Let's just say this, you have now put it out to the airwaves.
I know.
So, right? So perhaps it will come into fruition before you know it.
Yeah, that's a good place to end. Thank you.
Absolutely. Simon, thank you so much for joining me today. I so appreciate you are about to start your day as I wind down with mine, but I totally, totally appreciate you chatting with me today. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, Nicole. You have an awesome day.
Thank you.
We're from the Kiwasa Preteen Spring Camp. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.